Committee on Ways and Means for Friday, March 2nd. Colleagues, in deference to some people who have other commitments in their legislative districts, we're going to go to other bills first. So let's take up Senate Bill 48A, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 48 establishes a rainy day savings account and requires that revenues from the corporate income and excise tax kicker be deposited into the account. The bill also requires that after the ending balance for a biennium is determined, amount equal to 1% of the general fund appropriation for the biennium be transferred from the ending balance to the rainy day savings account. If the ending balance does not equal or exceed 1% of the general fund appropriation, the entire amount of the ending balance is to be transferred to the rainy day savings account. Senate Bill 48 only takes effect if Senate Joint Resolution 3 is approved by the voters in a special election set for May 15, 2007 by Senate Bill 549. If the voters approve Senate Joint Resolution 3, Senate Bill 48 takes effect 91 days after the adjournment of the 74th Legislative Assembly. The Education Subcommittee recommends the adoption of an amendment to clarify that the transfer of 1% of the general fund appropriation for the biennium to the rainy day savings account from the ending balance is effective with biennium beginning July 1, 2007. The Education Subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 48 be amended and reported out due pass as amended. I believe you have the amendment on your desk.
Thank you, Senator. And with that clarification and amendment, we would be moving to Senate Bill 48B, just to clarify that. Is there discussion? Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Question of the carrier, if I may.
Yes.
Why are we doing this, Senator?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Morgan.
Well, let me clarify that question further. In light of the agreement that has been struck and so well publicized in the process and is in the process of being drafted, why are we doing this?
I think the intent here is, in terms of the process reaching that agreement, there was an understanding that we would continue to proceed until portions of that agreement came closer to fruition. That's basically what I understand to be the process, and I understand that the leadership in both chambers, in terms of both caucuses, the leadership understands that this will be the process.
I have a follow-up question.
Yes.
So, just to clarify then, is it your understanding that this these two bills will not be brought to the floor for votes if the negotiated agreement is agreed to?
My understanding at this particular point is that SB 48 may still come to the Senate floor, but that once we get closer to sort of dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, that there may be some modifications. And obviously the agreement includes a rainy day fund, and right now I'm not privy to know that if SB 48 itself might be still the vehicle for the rainy day fund.
Senator Lindsay, did you have a question or discussion?
Thank you, Co-Chair. I will oppose Senate Bill 48. I come from a rural culture where a deal is a deal, and if your word's not good, you have no respect, no credibility. This bill is the vehicle for breaking your promise to the corporate community and corporate business community of Oregon. If you believe that the kicker is not a good deal, and I'm not really enamored with the corporate kicker, then we should look into the future and change it. But this is a retroactive $250 million tax increase on our business community, and it's just plain wrong. I won't support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I too will be in opposition to this bill. I had an opportunity to work with the group forming the agreement and plan on moving forward in good faith on that agreement, and therefore don't find this necessary.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Hannah. Representative Morgan?
Very briefly, Madam Co-Chair, we had this, both of these bills come through the Education Subcommittee, and we had what I would characterize as a very robust discussion in that subcommittee. So I would just reiterate that for the reasons that I made clear then, I'm a no vote also on this.
Thank you. Representative Gerard?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the reasons indicated, I too will be voting no.
Thanks. Anybody else? Representative Jensen, you want to discuss?
Yeah.
Thank you. Further discussion? Hearing none, I think we probably need a roll call on this one. Do we need to move the amendment? I'm sorry, or was it moved?
Yeah.
Representative Devlin, the amendment's already in the bill.
With the 840, yes.
So we're moving the dash B?
I'm moving the amendment into the bill and reporting it to the Senate for DPAS with that amendment.
Okay.
That's the amendment is just a clarifying amendment, Madam Co-Chair.
Great. Mr. Rocco?
Senator Westman?
Aye.
Senator Gordon?
Aye.
Senator Johnson?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye.
Senator Morris?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Ruger?
Aye.
Senator Whitson?
No.
Vice Chair Carter?
Aye. Aye, aye, aye.
Co-Chair Schrader?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Hannah?
No.
Representative Jensen?
No.
Representative Gerard?
No.
Representative Galizio?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Nolan?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Senate Joint Resolution 3. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
You're welcome.
Senate Joint Resolution 3 proposes an amendment to the Oregon Constitution to eliminate the surplus corporate income and excise tax kicker and requires the kicker amount to be deposited into a rainy day savings account. In conjunction with Senate Bill 549, SGR 3 refers the proposed constitutional amendment to a vote of the people in a special election to be held on May 15, 2007. The special election costs are estimated at $835,000 general fund for the 2005-2007 biennium. This amount is appropriated to the Secretary of State in Senate Bill 549, which has previously been approved by the Ways and Means Committee. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval of SJR 3.
Thank you, Senator. Is there discussion? Representative Morgan?
Thank you. We'll probably just go down the line again here. A very robust discussion in the Education Subcommittee on this. I think that if there is intention to move ahead with the negotiated agreement, then this referral is not needed. And a no vote on it.
Thank you. Representative
Hannah? Madam Co-Chair, I also will be a no vote.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
And Representative Gerard, let me guess.
We have no vote. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Senator Whitsitt.
To advance brevity, just although be a no vote, I was going to make comments, but I think they're probably superfluous at this point.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Shields.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Just can I ask a question, clarification to the representative from Roseburg, Mr. Henner?
Yes, if you will. Sure.
I just wanted to make sure this wasn't a surprise that this was coming forward today. Is that correct?
The discussions in the leadership group as negotiations were ongoing were primarily around Senator Decker forwarding these during the time discussions were happening. I was hopeful that after the deal had been struck that this process would be terminated. I understand the process But again, my no vote is just that I think the deal has been struck now. I understood during negotiations that we needed to continue to move forward, but I just feel like now that the deal is done, we could dispense with this.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I'm seeing objections from Representative Morgan, Representative Hanna, Representative Jensen, Representative Garrard, and Senator Whitsitt. Any further objections? The motion carries. Thank you. Back to budget bills. House Bill 5045, Board of Tax Practitioners. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 5045 is the budget bill for the Oregon Board of Tax Practitioners. The Board of Tax Practitioners is a consumer protection licensing board that oversees individuals and businesses who prepare personal income tax returns for others. The board issues two levels of individual licenses, tax preparer and tax consultant. Preparer level licenses are apprentice practitioners who must work under supervision. Tax consultants must have at least 2 years' experience or 780 hours in tax preparation, and they work independently. Tax firms and their branch offices are also registered by the board. The subcommittee approved an other funds budget of $975,436 and four positions for FTE. The subcommittee's recommended budget is a 9.3% decrease from the governor's recommended budget of $1,075,985. This reduction reflects a fee bill that has been introduced by the board to raise fees, and the reduction will be reversed pending successful passage of House Bill 2240. The subcommittee approved the agency's performance measures. The General Government Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5045 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Any objections? Motion carries. House Bill 5049, State Treasurer, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 5049 is a budget for the State Treasurer. The Treasurer is the bank for all state agencies. The Treasurer coordinates and approves bond sales and invests excess temporary cash for local governments. The Treasurer also administers the Oregon 529 College Saving Plan. The General Government Subcommittee approved a budget of $32 million and 82 positions. The subcommittee approved six additional staff to address investment and debt management workloads. Funding for 1 year of maximum potential bonuses for investment staff is included in the budget. The Treasurer can return to the legislature or the emergency board if additional limitation is needed because investment staff beat their targets for both years. Because of the changing workload responsibilities and demands, five position reclassifications were approved, and one half-time position was increased to a full-time position. The subcommittee also approved expenditure authority for additional marketing and oversight of the college 529 savings network. The increase in staff will be accommodated within existing office space. The need for future office space for the treasurer's office was discussed at length, along with a more general discussion of the future of office space needs on the Capitol Mall. Planning for additional space on the mall is expected to begin in earnest this coming biennium, and it is hoped that additional uniform rent space will be developed on the mall with the needs of all state agencies considered through input to and review by the Capital Projects Advisory Board. The subcommittee also reviewed and approved the agency's performance measures. Most of the measures are against benchmarks which will change and cannot therefore be forecast with accuracy. The General Government Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5049 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. Discussion, Representative Grubb.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There was considerable discussion in the subcommittee on natural resources in regards to the Bureau of State Lands, is they are going to be transferring unclaimed property division to the Treasury Department. I noticed that it's been taken out of the budget pending legislation, but I'm just wondering if we're going to have to come back to this budget if legislation is enacted to place the unclaimed property division into the Treasury.
Mr. Whalen, would you reply?
Co-chairs, members of the committee, if the vehicle that would transfer the responsibility does pass or move forward, we can put the adjustment to the budget necessary for both the Treasurer and the Department of State Lands in that bill.
And, colleagues, that's a fairly common event here. As policy legislation moves forward, we coordinate, the LFO staff coordinates very closely with that that effort and can make adjustments as it moves forward. Thanks for bringing that up. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Worthley.
Thank you very much, and good morning. A question about the customer service performance measure, which is number 13. It appears that we're moving from no change in the measure from 05 to 07 to a 100% target in 2008, and then an A for not applicable, I'm assuming, for 2009, if we could get an explanation of what's happening here.
Thank you. Mr. Whalen?
Co-chairs, Senator Gordney, I believe it's there because there's no further place to go than 100%. They intend to stay at that level. So we could have changed it to 100%. We just felt that's where they intend to be. That's the target for the following years.
Follow-up.
Senator,
I would just suggest that for clarity, we may want to insert 100% so that we're all clear about what the expectation is.
We will do that.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Okay. Senate Bill 5514, Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. SB 5514 is the appropriation bill for the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. The department is the state's primary source of information on geological minerals and hazards. The department is also responsible for administering surface mining regulations. The agency is funded by the general fund, other funds from mining permit fees, publication sales and contracts, and various federal sources. The committee approves a budget of $8.5 million and 35.2 FTE, including $3.2 million general fund, $3.4 million other funds, and $1.9 million federal funds. The total budget recommended by the subcommittee is 12% below the 2005-2007 legislatively approved budget. The budget does not include $4.5 million other funds from the proposed sale of certificates of participation and $116,903 general fund debt service for light detection and ranging, or LIDAR, as proposed by the governor. The project would provide mapping data for 10,000 square miles of western Oregon, including coastal areas. The package was removed in part due to concerns of the large roll-up cost in 2009-2011. The project will be considered for add-back with a different funding scheme at a later date in this budget process. The budget also removes over $300,000 of empty federal funds expenditure limitation. Your Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends SB 5514 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Senator Berger.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair Nolan. Oregon is woefully unprepared for a natural disaster. Preparation is the key, and important part of that preparation is the research that is done by Dagami. Having the LIDAR separated out, which is package 103 in the report you've just heard, is certainly one way of handling that need. However, will it ever be funded?
This is obviously a very small agency doing a yeoman's effort for emergency preparedness. And depending on their ability to leverage their own dollars using certificates of participation with a 36% cut from the governor's recommended budget, it sends a strong message that emergency preparedness may not enjoy the priority that it deserves. I will have to be a no on Senate Bill 5514 as amended, because I cannot explain to the residents of a destroyed community why we weren't better prepared. Thank you, Senator. Senator Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I voted no in the committee on this bill, but I'm going to vote yes today. I've received assurances that, and basically I voted no for the reasons that Senator Berger has just indicated, but I've received assurances from the co-chair from the Senate side, at least, that this is a very serious matter, and they're going to continue to try and find the methods to fund this project. This LIDAR system, I think, is really a crucial system. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I feel compelled to weigh in on this issue, particularly in light of the comments of my colleague and good friend, Senator Berger. I share her concern about preparation and doing everything we can to predicate preparation on good science and good understanding of natural phenomena. But I wanted to share with the committee the very vigorous conversation that took place in the General Government Subcommittee with respect to other technology implementation across state agencies, and the perception, if not the reality, that we are planning in isolation. And I hope to have the opportunity to continue with the robust discussion with the co-chairs about figuring out who is actually in charge of seeing the integration of all of this technology. Right now we have pockets of GIS, information systems, global, and I've forgotten, I can tell you what the acronym is, but I can't tell you what the real words are. We have pockets of this kind of mapping and gathering of data and data manipulation in the Department of Revenue. ODOT is doing some, Department of Administrative Services doing some, and I think many of us would feel greatly comforted if we knew that there was some kind of an integrated plan that maximized the potential scarce resources and delivered a product that was universally applicable across agencies, and particularly had applicability to our county partners who are delivering on-the-ground services predicated on the amalgamation and use of this very comprehensive data. So in no way do I take exception to anything that's been said here about the absolutely screaming need to understand activities, particularly off the coast, where it is generally agreed we have all kinds of activities that would help inform disaster preparedness, natural activities. But I just want to make a case for comprehensive planning and not one-off purchases agency by agency.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to assure all members of the committee here today that is my feeling from discussions with my committee, Natural Resources, that all members are committed and are very interested in seeing LIDAR continue with the Department of DGAMI, and I have what I believe are relatively firm commitments from the co-chairs to be able to work on a solution to this and to be able to resolve some of these issues. One of the things that you should keep in mind with this is part of the proposal was to do a very large portion of Western Oregon, probably the places most at risk, for about $4.5 million. One of the reasons that was proposed was because of the savings that you would have from doing it all at one time. Now, in the budget was not $4.5 million. That was a $4.5 million COP. Any savings that you would have from doing it all one time would be eaten up by the debt service that you would have for the COP. So there's really no savings in the budget by doing it at this rate. In that $4.5 million, and I do not have the numbers all upstairs exactly, but is about $900,000 for the coast, which I think a lot of people believe on the committee and probably on the committee here is the next priority for LIDAR. Remember that in the last biennium, DGAMI, without enough staff resources and about $167,000, working with local and federal partners, has bid all close to $1 million worth of LIDAR work, and the cost is about $900,000. I think some of us believe if they can get several hundred thousand dollars as a base, plus some staff resources to be able to actually carry that out, that they can again leverage money and can address their number one priority, the coast, in this next biennium. I think that's probably the best way to approach this. I would like to actually be able to do everything that people would like to do. I believe that emergency management, and I believe my committee believes emergency management and dealing with those is an extremely high priority for the state. But I believe we always have to make choices, and I believe this is a prudent way to approach this issue, given the fact that we do not have $4.5 million to take out of the general fund at this particular time to do this. The full 10,000 acres, or 10,000 square miles.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Morgan?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I think that Dogami does a very, very credible job of the areas that they have jurisdiction over with the staffing and the budget that they have, and it is a very well-run state agency. That being said, the points that Senator Johnson brought forward about the importance of having the state's data all be stored in a place that is accessible to the people of Oregon is a critical one. And I know that there are discussions going on right now, or there were, in the General Government Subcommittee around DAS's budget as it relates to the receptacle for that data, the overall plan to have all of that data in a place where it is coordinated and where it's accessible to people. And I would ask you all to become familiar with the great work that's going on right now at Oregon State University that is being overseen by their library and by the Institute for Natural Resources that's doing this very work. They're putting together what's called the Oregon Portal, which is a process of coordinating all of the data layers that are available for all different kinds of fields of knowledge so that you can actually look down through all those data layers at a particular spot in the geography of Oregon and see what we know and what we don't know about the area. This is groundbreaking work that's going on right now at Oregon State University, and we're very hopeful that it is going to be the basis of a way in which libraries are essentially going to be transformed in this area. So as the discussions proceed, please take a look at the work that's being done in that area and the applicability to the data layers that the state of Oregon is in charge of stewarding.
Thank you. Senator Gordley.
Thank you very much, Madam Co-Chair. I had the privilege of serving with Senator Virgin during the interim on the Joint Emergency Preparedness Committee, and came away from that experience with this knowledge, and there are others on this committee with me who also served on that interim committee, came away with this knowledge that as a state, we are not prepared. We are not prepared. And so I want to just, I'm looking at this from a broader perspective, understanding that as a state, we are not prepared. And really paying attention to the thoughtful comments of Senator Virgin, who is currently chairing in this session the Joint Emergency Preparedness Committee. And I'm going to join her in her statement and also in her caution and concern about where we are now. It's my belief that the most important committee work going on in this building is around emergency preparedness, and we all need to give it a lot more attention than we have. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? I'll note that the committee has received a letter from Oregon Earthquake Awareness, and that will be entered into the record as well. Objections to the motion? I noted Senator Virgin. Are there others?
Senator Gordon.
Senator Gordon. Any others? Motion passes. Senate Bill 5524, Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Easy for me to say. Representative Hannah.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Your Ways and Means Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends a budget of $123,178,667 other funds and 225.68 full-time equivalent positions for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. The OLCC works to regulate the sale, distribution, and responsible use of alcoholic beverages to protect public health and safety. Private agents contract with OLCC to operate 243 liquor stores in the state, and the OLCC licenses more than 116,000 servers and 9,800 retail businesses, such as restaurants or convenience stores that serve or sell alcohol directly to the public. The subcommittee's recommendation will enable the agency to achieve an estimated $852 million in liquor sales by making permanent six limited-duration warehouse distribution workers approved in 2006 and adding a manager and a support position to enable the creation of a swing shift at the OLCC distribution center. At the same time, the subcommittee's recommendation will allow OLCC to step up its enforcement efforts with the addition of five liquor control inspectors. In addition, the recommended budget will reduce the turnaround time to license bars, restaurants, and other purveyors by providing expenditure limitation for completion of information technology improvements begun in 05-07 and the addition of one limited duration licensing investigator position. The agent's average rate of 8.88% of sales will be maintained. The subcommittee recommends adjusting the agency's performance measure targets to reflect the additional licensing and enforcement resources included in the subcommittee's budget recommendation. The subcommittee recommends adding the board best practices measure for the commission and the consumer service measure recommended for all agencies. The subcommittee recommends deleting five measures that were output rather than outcome-based. These outputs can be encompassed by the agency's key performance measure, which measures the agency's rate of return to the general fund, to cities, and to counties. Your Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5524 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Is there discussion? Seeing none, are there objections? Motion carries. Senate Bill 5532, Board of Pharmacy. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5532 is the budget bill for the State Board of Pharmacy. The board licenses pharmacists, registers and inspects pharmacies, drug wholesalers and manufacturers, and over-the-counter drug outlets, investigates drug diversion, and regulates the quality and distribution of controlled substances, prescriptions, and over-the-counter drugs within the state. The agency is funded by revenue generated from license, registration, and examination fees, so it's an entirely other-funded agency. The Education Subcommittee approved a total budget of $4.3 million and 20.5 full-time equivalent positions. The approved budget adds two part-time positions to address increased workload and includes $340,000 of U.S. Department of Justice grant funds to develop a prescription drug monitoring program should Senate Bill 34 become law. The subcommittee approved the agency's performance measures and added a new board best practices measure. The education subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5532 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Is there discussion? Any objections? Motion carries. Senate Bill 5538, Racing Commission. Senator Whitsitt.
Chair. Senate Bill 5538 is the budget bill for the Oregon Racing Commission. The Racing Commission regulates all aspects of racing in Oregon, including live and simulcast horse and greyhound race meets, off-track betting facilities, and wagering through seven interstate wagering hubs that are located in Oregon. Commission revenues are received from the state share of paramutual receipts from the race meets and the hubs, from licenses and fees, and from unclaimed winnings. By law, the Commission is to transfer revenue in excess of expenditures to the general fund. The recommended budget totals $5,664,272 other funds and 14.52 FTE. The budget includes the addition of veterinary staff to assist with increased medical testing and oversight of racehorses. The budget was increased $960,000 other funds for payments to benefit the Oregon paramutual racing industry from hub revenue, and anticipates an additional $480,000 being transferred to the general fund above what was assumed in the governor's proposed budget. The Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends that Senate Bill 5538 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Gorley?
Thank you very much. Question, why, looking at the performance measures, key performance measure 2, which is being eliminated, and is related to disciplinary rulings, why are we eliminating a performance measure related to disciplinary rulings?
Madam Chair,
Mr. Seifert,
Senator Gordley, Policy Biller, State Fiscal Office. the committee felt that and agreed with the agency that this was more of an output measure, that in fact they could have instances where some feed is distributed amongst the horses that has an additive that they don't know about at the time. They cite a number of horses and then later find out the cause, and the jump and spike in the disciplinary actions isn't really anything proactive that the agency did. It's just in a reactive mode, and so the subcommittee felt that that wasn't really an outcome measure that the agency should be held to.
Mm-hmm. Was there discussion about other ways in which issues around discipline could be addressed?
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, I believe that the ultimate outcome is the health and welfare of the animals that are racing, and so that they kept that measure that does gauge that, and I think they felt that disciplinary actions really were not only to make sure that there is a fair and even playing field, but also to ensure the safety of the animals.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Any objections? Motion carries. Representative Morgan, yes.
Just very briefly, Madam Chair, just to bring to the committee's attention that to this point we've spent over $26 million in general fund, and we are eagerly awaiting the co-chair's budget.
That's quite a build-up. And Senator Witzig brought us a bill this morning that actually put more into the general fund. Thank you, Senator. Thank you. Any further discussion before we adjourn? See you all next week, then. Thanks.